We're just waiting for the security guy to walk past. We are sitting here in the IMAX theater in Davenport, Iowa, waiting for The Dark Knight Rises to start. It's the midnight showing in IMAX. We're pretty excited about it. We still got, what, about 3.5 hours on till the thing starts?
Three and a half hours.
We're pretty excited. We're going to be doing some interviews with some people before we go in. We are lucky enough in line to be seated next to most of the Justice League.
Yes, we have Flash, Superman, Batman, and Green Lantern. So this is, we're going to interview them soon and looking to see what they their thoughts are.
And not just any Flash, it's Jay Garrick Flash.
Yes.
He's got the helmet and everything, so it's pretty exciting. We're really thrilled about this movie. We have been, as you well know from listening to the podcast, but regrettably, the ending was spoiled for me thanks to a podcast I was listening to.
Yeah, and notice that in our special, we did not do any spoilers. We had our thoughts, but it was actually a spoiler from the David Letterman show, which, my whole thing is, look, if you know there's a spoiler and you know how mad it made people if it was news, why would you do it yourself? That I'm mad for you. Because I knew when Agent Coulson died in the Avengers, and yeah, I mean, didn't ruin it, but still, I mean, that was a big, big moment. So I was pretty upset. So I'm very sorry, Brayden, because that's just terrible.
Yeah, I was pretty upset. As you can tell, we're only using one mic. It was easier to smuggle one mic into the line in the theater rather than both mics. So we're just flipping back and forth between us. But yeah, we're going to do some interviews here in just a moment, talk to some of the people in line. It should be a lot of fun.
All right, we are here with
Kelsey.
So just some quick questions for you. What are you looking forward to the most in this movie?
I'm looking forward to just the whole series itself coming to an end and kind of just seeing how Christopher Nolan does it all and just kind of, just caps it all off.
Yeah, do you think it'll be better than The Dark Knight?
You know, there's really no way to know for certain. I mean, I think that the second movie improved over the first movie, and so I think that this one can certainly do the same thing, but I guess we'll see.
Gotcha. How do you feel about Bane being the villain?
At first, I was skeptical, but especially after your guys' podcast the other day, I really am looking forward to it because I think there's a lot more to Bane than, you know, he's been portrayed beforehand, especially with the cheesier versions of Batman in like the 90s.
That was terrible.
Awful. You know, he's portrayed as like a mindless thug who just does the bidding of Poison Ivy, you know? So I think this is going to be good to kind of bring a new light to him.
Great. Now, the final question. Do you think Batman will die?
I think that'd be a really dramatic way to end it all, but at the same time, I just don't think Christopher Nolan can let that character go. I don't think Batman will die, but we'll see. I do think that something big's going to happen though at the end.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you very much, Kelsey. All right, we're here for our second interview. We have The Flash, a.k.a. Jay Garrick. So just to ask you some basic questions, what are your expectations going into The Dark Knight Rises?
I'm expecting it to be Nolan's best yet. He's consistently outdone himself with every movie, in my opinion.
So you think it'll be better than The Dark Knight and maybe even Inception?
Hoping so.
How big will your disappointment be if it doesn't, you know, if it isn't his best? Will it be kind of like, it was not a big deal, or it'll be kind of a big letdown?
As long as it's a good movie, I really don't care, but I am, from what I've seen, I'm fully expecting that it could be his best movie yet.
You know, I have to agree with you. What does Batman mean to you?
I think he's just kind of, the thing I like about him is he's a hero basically anybody could be. He's human, he's just something that we can all kind of look up to. It's an achievement that's fully reasonable, and he's, the fact that he's always achieving for basically this impossible goal, it's noble.
So it's his drive and his dedication to his cause.
Yes.
Awesome. Do you think at the end Batman will die?
I think it's a very good possibility. I know Nolan's work, he's my favorite director. I think he would do it, but I'm not sure if he will.
Gotcha. One last question. Why The Flash?
me and my friends are deciding to do a Justice League theme. I always liked Flash, and I thought it'd be a fairly fun costume to work with.
Well, hey, it looks great. So I'm actually really jealous that I didn't dress up, because I just, the whole Justice League thing is awesome. So, all right, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, we're here with the second member of the Justice League. Here we have, Batman. Not Aquaman, not Cyborg. We have the one and only Batman. Why we're actually here for the movie. So, when you aren't Batman, what is your alter ego?
Well, I think it's obvious, but I prefer not to reveal it, you know.
Gotcha. Secret identity. That's the dedication of Batman. There you go. So, what are you looking forward to the most watching yourself on screen?
Well, I'd like to see what actually happens through the Bane story arc, because, as we all know, what happens, who breaks the bat? It's interesting to see if it'll actually happen in the movie.
Gotcha. How was it fighting Bane?
You know, as you could see from a couple clips already, it really wore me out, you know, especially that one scene where it kind of shows my weariness as Bane is loping toward me.
Yeah, it looks like, no offense to you, Batman, but it looks like you get pretty good. So now, do you think you'll survive this encounter?
You know, I kind of had this theory in which I think I myself as Batman will die, but Bruce Wayne will technically survive.
That's actually my theory. You know, I guess we'll see how you play out and how you fare. One last question. Was this experience fighting Bane bigger and better than fighting the Joker in The Dark Knight?
Well, what's quite interesting about this is that the Joker is more of a mental challenge, while at the same time, Bane is both mental and physical, to say the least.
Yeah, that is very true. They're very, very different approaches in their fighting style. Well, thank you, Batman. We're looking forward to seeing you on the big screen. From what it looks like in the previews, it looks like it will be amazing and epic.
Thank you. Glad to talk to you.
All right, take care. All right, here we have Green Lantern, who is one of my favorite superheroes. Now, quick question, which Green Lantern are you?
Obviously the best one, Hal Jordan.
Good answer.
I mean, he just got that above everyone. I mean, he's not Guy Gardner, who's kind of a freak, and Kyle Rayner, who's little, just kind of a young kid. He's Alan, no, it's I can't remember the first one's name.
Oh, yeah, there's Alan Scott.
Don't even diss on Alan Scott, boys. He's the best Green Lantern ever.
I have to go with Hal Jordan personally. I have to agree with the Green Lantern we have here. So very glad you're... Personally, Brandon's going to disagree. I'm personally very glad that you're Hal Jordan. Now, quick question before we even start the interview. How did you feel about your movie?
I felt that it kind of flopped, and I'm still kind of uncertain that Imperius is dead. I mean, he fell in, the sun sucked him in, even though he can fly between galaxies. I'm still a little skeptical, but other than that, I got to make out with Hot Chick. I mean, screw it.
That is very, very true. Blake Lively and Carol Ferris. And just very, very pretty. Now, how do you think this movie will play out in the echelon of superhero movies?
There's no way it can be better than my movie. Even though I was a little disappointed, Green Lantern. But I think it's going to be amazing. I really hope they follow that whole Nightfall storyline, because I thought that was pretty good book. Although a lot of people don't like it for some reason. I really hope he breaks the bat because that's what he is. He's a genius. I always liked him for that. He figured out his identity and then released everyone to hurry him down and then took him out. I'm really looking forward to. I'm also looking forward to see how Catwoman works out, because the other Catwomans have been kind of, you know, a little bit weird. I just hope there aren't so many cat puns.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there will be. I mean, I grew up on Batman Returns, so I loved Michelle Pfeiffer, but from what we're all hearing, Anne Hathaway really does steal the show, so I really think that you will probably get what you're hoping for. How do you think this movie will compare to the Avengers?
I think it'll be better. I mean, The Avengers was really good, but they're really two different movies. One is a complex storyline told over thing. The other one's a big smash hit with characters who are learning to be together. I think this one will beat it, mostly because we have some really dedicated Batman fan base. I mean, they're just big huge fans, and they will continue to see it over and over again. I know I've seen Dark Knight a couple dozen times. I love that movie.
How could you not?
I don't know. It's just like the perfect movie.
So do you think this movie will, The Dark Knight Rises, will be better than Dark Knight? Or do you think The Dark Knight will be the best one of the trilogy?
I think Dark Knight set a certain standard that we want it. We want that standard to be met. And if it does or not, that's again uncertain. But I think Bane looks like he's going to be a great villain. But how he matches up with the Joker is the Batman villain. But I'm really looking forward to seeing how that works out.
Well, so are we. One last question: do you think Batman dies at the end?
Yes, I think. But I also think someone else will take it up, or Joseph Gordon-Levitt, whoever his character is. I think he's going to take it up. They've been really secretive about this movie. That's sort of Christopher Nolan style. Keep it under wraps until, like, I didn't even know what Inception was about till I saw it.
Very, very true. And it'll be, there's the great thing about this movie, like you said, it's so kept so under wraps, is that we really will not know what is happening until we actually see the movie. And you know what, the Avengers always had a lot of trailers and a lot of things coming out, and I love, that's what I personally love about Nolan, is that it's just so tight. So Bray and I are very much looking forward to it, and sounds like you are as well. Obviously looking great as Green Lantern, and thanks for the interview.
Yeah, thank you. You have a nice, have fun, enjoy.
Yeah, will do. All right, we are here with
Nicole,
and now Nicole is, she's like all of us, she is not a caped crusader, and we just want to ask her a couple questions. Now, you're not a huge comic book fan, so you like the movies, you're interested in the movies, so that's why I wanted to ask you some questions. What are your expectations going into The Dark Knight Rises?
One thing I always like about the Batman series is just the action and the thrilling and the keeps you on the edge of your seat experiences that I always get from watching the movies. So really I'm looking for intense scenes, action, a little bit of dramatic experiences, and that should fulfill my expectations.
Great. Now, do you think that this will be, for you, better than the Avengers?
I don't know. I really love the Avengers just because it brought together all of the different superheroes in one movie, and I thought that was pretty cool. So we'll just have to see if it does or not.
Awesome. Now, are you familiar with the villain Bane?
No, I've actually never heard of him.
So have you seen images of him on, you know, trailers and online?
If he's the one with the weird-looking thing over his mouth or nose, then yes, I have.
So what are your impressions of him, just seeing those images?
I think maybe without the mask, he wouldn't be so intimidating, but he could be pretty scary.
Yeah, so he looks dominating. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes, like controlling. We'll just have to see what he brings to the movie.
Now, there are a lot of rumors that Batman could possibly die at the end of this movie. If he did, how would that, because you're not familiar with the comic books, would that be a big shock to you?
Personally, yes, because I feel like in superhero movies, they usually come out on top in some way or another. So yeah, it would definitely be a shock if he were to die.
Would it ruin the movie for you?
You know, depending on the dramatic scenes and the intenseness, might not, but it would definitely be disappointing.
Gotcha. So we have Nicole here who's hoping that Batman does not die.
Yes, that's correct.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Nicole. And hopefully, for your sake, Batman and Bruce Wayne lives on, and that you enjoy the movie.
We'll cross our fingers.
All right. We have here with us one of the most iconic and famous, and to many people, their favorite superhero of all time, Superman. Quick question, how are you looking? Are you looking forward to your movie coming out next summer?
I am very, very excited to see that. Although I let Batman have his movie first, because you know, a lot more people following that, because sometimes I don't get the best movie choices. So
very true, very true. I'm sorry to say, but it's very, very true.
Yeah, I know. Comic books is where I'm at. So
awesome. How do you feel about Zack Snyder directing the Superman movie?
I feel it'll be good, better than the last one, because it got a lot of buff, you know, a lot of hate, actually. But I think he'll do a good job, and it can't be any worse than the last one, and I really only thing I have trouble with right now is that the costume. That's my biggest beef with it.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying.
So you're not a fan of the chainmail look?
No. I think Superman needs to continue with his belt and outer underwear garment type look, because I mean that's how he's recognized.
It's iconic.
So you don't like the new 52 redesign either?
That one actually isn't bad. Just the solid blue, it works. It's not the lines going down. So I think the blue's better than the random lines that they have going on this one. So I think it works. In fact, I've done a couple drawings with the new blue, and it's kind of catchy.
Also, you're an artist in your spare time.
Well, kind of. More just coloring. But, yeah.
Hey, many people have a great career coloring. That's right. So now, how does it feel to know that you're going to watch on screen you're one of your best friends, Batman, just get pummeled by Bane?
You know, I'm supporting him all the way. I think he'll give a good fight, and in the end, well, we'll just have to find out, but I think, you know, the truth and the justice, and as I say, the American way, will prevail, and the bad guy will end up, you know, getting what he deserves.
Awesome. Now, how does Batman, what does Batman mean to you?
Batman, well, there's a lot to him, because, you know, he's kind of like my not my backup, but my buddy. My buddy in his garment, he's always there for me. And, you know, I've lended him my kryptonite ring in case I get out of control sometimes. So he's like a watchful guardian.
Well put. Do you think that your friend Batman, I almost gave away his identity there. Do you think Batman will make it out in the end? Do you think he'll come out on top and survive, or do you think that this will be his end?
I think that even if he doesn't survive, he will still survive.
Awesome. And just one more question. Do you think this will be better than The Dark Knight?
That's a tough one. Dark Knight, very good, like a 9.9 out of 10. But, you know, it's building up, and this movie's probably going to be its peak. So I'm looking forward to it very much.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And we will. We're also very much looking forward to the epicness of The Dark Knight Rises.
Here we are between the bubbles for our Dark Knight Rises Episode 2 special.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed our interviews with the Justice League and those girls, Kelsey and Nicole. They were all willing participants, even if we did have to twist their arms a little bit.
A little bit.
But it was worth it. And I think that there was some good perspective before you've seen the movie. However, I'm going to say this right now. If you have not seen the movie yet, turn off the podcast right now.
This is spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
We're not holding anything back, so
we're going to talk about this movie as if you watched it with the same attention to detail that we did. So if you don't want to listen to that, sorry.
You've been warned.
But you have been warned. So, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I will say this about the interviews. It was funny because when we approached the Justice League, you could tell they're a little hesitant. Like, who are these guys with a microphone wanting to interview us? And then
I think they warmed up to it.
Yeah,
really,
and
do.
They did.
And I think that
they did great.
The doing it in character was the best part.
And Kelsey and Nicole did good, awesome. I mean, they. We actually know Kelsey and Nicole, so they're a little nervous because they thought we're going to like grill them about details and history. But the Justice League, we did not know. There were people we just met in line, and they.
It was a lot of fun.
It was fun. So
we would have done more interviews, but then they let us into the theater, and I had stretched the limit of what that theater manager was going to let us do anyway. So.
Yeah, he was kind of giving us a little dirty looks.
But he was very friendly, and so thanks, theater manager.
For letting us interview and bring in the computer,
yeah,
and the microphone.
It was a lot of fun. But anyway, so, spoiler alert, now we're going to talk about the movie.
All right.
What did you think about the movie, Darren?
My initial thoughts are I had high expectations. I was hoping it'd be better than Dark Knight. I didn't think it would be better than The Dark Knight because Heath Ledger was incredible. The Joker is my favorite villain of all time, and he really captured what the Joker is about. All that being said, this was the most epic Batman movie I think you can ever create. This was what
it was
I wanted.
Really great.
There's so many shout outs to fans, to the history of Batman, so much respect to the Batman character and the other supporting characters that, and the ending. The ending where Batman and Selina Kyle, or Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle, ended up together. In Venice,
looking over at seeing poor Alfred, who feels like he has failed entirely.
Which was, I almost cried.
I cried for poor Alfred.
Yeah.
Because he felt like he had failed Bruce so badly.
But and not just Bruce, but the parents.
Yeah, but for him to go and see them there, happy, in Venice, and just have they shared that look. That's all you needed.
Well,
it was a beautiful way to wrap that film up.
What fan did not want to see Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle end up together in anything?
Especially with this interpretation of Selina,
yes.
Which is by far the best interpretation.
Michelle Pfeiffer, sorry.
In any iteration.
Oh,
in the comics, in the TV show, this is the most I've ever liked Catwoman.
Oh, I was very, really hesitant with Anne Hathaway.
I was skeptical when they cast her.
Everyone was.
Because I've never really been an Anne Hathaway fan. I've always thought she was, like, pretty enough.
She was okay.
You know, Devil Wears Prada, she was okay. Like, Princess Diaries that my little sister made me watch.
Yeah, made me watch Devil Wears Prada. It was an okay movie,
Devil Wears Prada was good because of Meryl Streep, not
because
of Anne Hathaway.
And Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci was great, too. But, you know, I was really hesitant, but she owned it.
She did. She was the Heath Ledger of The Dark Knight Rises.
In every scene she was in, she stole it.
The one that where I knew that she was going to be phenomenal was the scene where she's exchanging the fingerprints, and the police come in and
yes.
she starts freaking out and screaming, and then she
and
just
as
calms
soon as
down.
The police aren't looking at her, blank face, walks
I was like,
out
oh,
with all the confidence in
my
the world.
Wow.
This is a hustler.
She's going to be great in the rest of the movie. And she was. She did not disappoint. There was not one scene in there where I thought, yeah, she was all right. No.
She
was phenomenal.
And the whole cast really did great, great work.
Christian Bale really sold it.
I mean, I've always felt in any of these, any of Nolan's movies, Batman is the least interesting part. And that remains true here. His performance is the least inspiring, but it was still really good.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like Tom Hardy played a cold, calculated villain extremely well because it was a weird combination of this guy who looks like he should be in UFC but talks like a Shakespearean character.
Uh-huh.
And talks in just these big, loud, and very ornate ways of phrasing everything.
Well, the fact that they had to turn the voice up so that we could understand what he's saying, I think added to his character.
I agree.
Especially in the scene where he breaks the bat.
Oh my gosh.
I'll talk about a little bit later why that was iconic for me. But
let's be honest. Darren and I just looked at each other after that happened and we were like, ah!
I didn't think they'd go there, and they did.
It was beautiful.
Oh, but when that whole scene when he's speaking and basically mocking Batman with, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're going to try and hide in the shadows?
I am the shadow.
You're going to try these little gimmicks of deception? I learned this too. Ra's al Ghul was my mentor just like he was yours. What are you even doing? And how the tone and how loud it was, which is so menacing and
it
really added to the scene. And yes, when he started punching his Batman's mask and it
Until
starts cracking.
Cracking, yeah. It was a visceral moment.
Oh, breaking when he picks up Batman and raises him, and you just know like, they're really gonna do it. And he just slams.
Oh, it was amazing.
His back over his knee. That was the most iconic scene of any movie because of how much I love Batman, how much I love the comics,
and how iconic that scene is in the comics. Like we talked about in the other special episode. That is maybe the most iconic scene in a Batman comic.
Yep.
Bane bringing him down over his knee and snapping his back.
And I didn't think they'd do it.
And we got it in vivid detail.
Beautiful movie form. I did not think that they would do it, and they did, and it was perfectly done.
They just took out all the stops. I felt like Commissioner Gordon was as interesting as he'd ever been. I loved John Blake as a character and as the linchpin of the story in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
He was the most important character in this film in many ways.
He and Catwoman really tied everything together.
Yeah, and I loved, let's be honest, I loved Marianne Cotillard Miranda Tate was so amazing.
I feel embarrassed admitting this. I did not. I thought she was Talia al Ghul in the beginning because, you know, the whole working for clean energy because League of Shadows or League of Assassins in the comic books, who's League of Shadows in the movies, their whole premise is protecting the Earth.
Yeah.
And so I saw that, I'm like, oh, she's totally going to be Talia. And yeah. then Bane
but then
is.
They humanized her so much, and they did that beautiful misdirection where you think. If you're not paying a lot of attention and you didn't just watch Batman Begins, you think that Bane is Ra's.
Yeah, that's what I was like, oh, well, I guess they changed the origin of Bane. Okay, I guess she wasn't Talia.
As soon as they heard that, because I just recently watched Batman Begins, I thought to myself, no, Bullhucky. He says to Bruce when they're on the ice, after the ice battle, he talks about his wife and his daughter. And as soon as that happened, I said, oh, cucka. Miranda Tate is totally talking.
I didn't see it. So when she came up and stabbed Batman, I was one of the people that gasped in the theater.
Oh, and the whole theater gasped. We were there in that IMAX theater, chock full of people, and there was just an audible. Every single person went, when she just dug that knife into his side.
Well, the cool thing was, is I actually saw it. I saw it two times, one midnight, then Friday night later again. And it was interesting to see how many hints she drops that she is Talia and she's there to destroy Batman.
But that's what Nolan does. I feel like his films always reward repeat viewings because they'll always have a big twist that you'll be like, blah, blah, blah. And then the second time you watch it, you're like, oh, he telegraphs it from the very
totally.
Beginning. And you, once you know that it's happening, you see it through the entire film.
Well, the scene that stuck out, there's two scenes that stuck out to me the most, was the scene where they're at the charity banquet, and Bruce Wayne is basically saying that, oh, you know, these people are just doing it to feed their ego, blah, blah, blah. And she's basically just giving this spiel of, you know, you know the fake empathy, and you fake you don't care, and basically calling him out on him deserting the city and escaping. The other part was when... she goes to his house and she sees a picture of his parents and she says, don't worry, Bruce, I will take care of your parents' legacy. And that to me was the most memorable because it plays so much into the first movie because what was Ra's al Ghul trying to destroy and what was really bitter about was the legacy of the Waynes and how they stopped his initial plan. So it was great.
It was phenomenal.
And then I loved with Detective Blake. Some people I saw on Facebook were upset that since his real name was Robin, that he should have been named after one of the Robins.
Yeah, my sister, for example, texted me last night after she saw the movie and said, John Blake has never been one of the Robins.
This is how I feel about it. I am very glad he wasn't named after one
me
of the
too,
Robins.
Me too, because you would have, as soon as it happened, you would have been like, burp, burp, there's a Robin.
Yep.
Oh, my name's Dick Grayson. that's telegraphing that everybody would have known.
But this was what was beautiful is Detective Blake was what makes Robin as a character. Not individual, but what is the entity of Robin.
He was like a tribute to the concept of Robin rather than being Robin himself.
Because, look, Dick Grayson, during the day when he was at Nightwing, he was a cop in Bluehaven, which is the sister city of Gotham. Jason Todd was an orphan from the streets, from a very rough background, just like Detective Blake was.
Yep.
And then Tim Drake, as a young child, knew and deduced that Bruce Wayne was Batman.
Just like
Tim Drake. Then Dick Grayson, of course, becomes Batman when Bruce Wayne dies in the Grant Morrison story.
And that's really what they set up for. Because his real name is Robin, they didn't set him up in that final scene when he is basically given the Batcave by Bruce. It's not to say, hey, why don't you be a hero named Robin? It's to say, it is your turn to be the Batman.
Which one sets it up when Bruce Wayne and Detective Blake are driving through the city and Batman, or Bruce Wayne's talking to him about the concept of Batman. He's saying the whole inspiration was that anyone could be Batman.
Exactly.
Anyone could be a hero. And then you see that happening at the end.
Exactly.
And I love that Christopher Nolan paid so much tribute and respect to, once again, what embodies Robin. Someone who's there to help Batman. Someone who's there to bring Batman out of the darkness
and
say, we need you.
Yeah.
And that's what the interesting thing is. Tim Drake, when Jason Todd died and Batman didn't want a Robin anymore because it obviously greatly affected him, Tim Drake said, you need a Robin. You need
someone to bring you back. Yeah.
And that's exactly what Detective Blake was bringing Batman, or Bruce Wayne, out of his darkness, out of his reclusiveness, back into being Batman. Mm-hmm. And once again, that's another homage to who Robin as a concept is.
Except
so
for
I'm
now
very, very glad.
Because of Damien. But that's a time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Day. Damien's a different guy.
he's a totally different beast. But I was so glad that they didn't name him after Robin because it made him more powerful.
And it made that ending scene when he drives up to that cave and you're like, oh my God.
And then the ending where it rises, just
it
like again, another Dark Knight rising.
Yeah.
Another Dark Knight rising, that symbolism. Yeah.
And so I know that Nolan has said that he is not going to be involved in the Justice League in any way, shape, or form. If you're smart, DC, cast Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Batman. If you're smart. You're not going to be smart enough to do that. You're going to cast some other dude as Batman.
He needs to be Batman.
If they were smart and they wanted to tie this whole baby together, with or without Nolan's permission, just cast Gordon-Levitt as the Batman.
And I would, if they don't, I'd love it if the reboots of Batman had him as Batman.
I think that'd be great.
I think it'd be awesome because you did finish this trilogy, but you're also, have to do a reboot because it's just a continuation with a whole new origin, and people would still love it. The thing as well is, Christopher Nolan said, Talia Ghul's not in the movie. Robin's not in the movie. So would it surprise me if they did the reboot and Gordon Levitt was the new Batman? It wouldn't, actually.
No. I mean, Nolan misdirects. That's what he's best at.
That's what he did throughout this whole movie. You know, he's misdirecting us.
So, and that's what he does in all of his movies. I mean, Memento, I think most memorably, but also Prestige and Inception are based on the idea of misdirection.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, we'll talk about Inception some other time, but the reason why I love Inception so much is that it's not a movie about, you know, crime in the mind or planting ideas as much as it is, as it's a movie about how to make movies and how to carefully construct your scenes in such a way that it's a tribute to what a movie can do. That's to me what makes Inception so great, is it's a movie about how to make a movie.
Well, and this to me for Dark Knight Rises was that this is how to do a superhero finale. To tie
this
everything
is how to
together.
Tie everything up without it feeling over. Like, it never felt overweight. It never felt overloaded. And I have talked with Darren many times about how I personally believe, and with this maybe being the only glaring exception, the second part of a trilogy
is always
the
best
part. Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie.
Two Towers,
Spider-Man is the best.
2.
Yeah.
X-Men 2, yep.
When you do a trilogy, especially a genre trilogy like these, the second film is where everything is developed at its most coherent, because you don't have to do origin, because the origin's done. You don't have to tie up all the loose ends, because that's what the third movie is for. So you're able to delve into an emotional level that you can't get to a lot of the times with a third film. However, I feel like Nolan here has created a film, a final chapter to a trilogy that should serve as a warning and an example to every other person who does a third part of a trilogy. This is the level to which you must aspire if you don't want me to hate you.
Well, it was so fun to see how it ties into the first movie, how it ties into the second
exactly
movie.
That's exactly what it did. The first
Scarecrow was in this movie, and his costume was great.
I thought to myself, yes!
Oh,
I looked at my
wife,
and Cassie and I looked at each other, and we were like, yeah.
I bet when Nolan was writing that scene, he just had a smile on his face, because I'm sure he knew that the fans would go nuts.
How could you not?
In a very good way.
But I loved the fact that, you know, I really liked The Dark Knight. I thought it was a vastly...
That was my favorite movie until I saw The Dark Knight Rises.
But you don't need Batman Begins for The Dark Knight.
No.
You don't. Other than the small cameo of the Scarecrow, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
Because Rachel Doss, even on its own, you could watch this and say, oh, it's a childhood love.
Yeah, you don't need Batman Begins to understand The Dark Knight. But The Dark Knight Rises ties both of them into this and makes it an integral one large arc rather than two separate films, which is what it felt like before. It ties them together in such a way that, you know, it felt like every part fit.
Mm-hmm. I thought that having the flashbacks, some people I saw were a little annoyed by that. I felt like it was very fitting. I felt like the whole thing with Ra's al Ghul saying he's immortal, that was another shout out to the comics. I loved the prison and having that hole in the wall, and then the whole concept of Bane knew what it was like to have despair because he had hope that he could escape. And it's exactly the harshest punishment that he felt like he could give the city of Gotham and Bruce Wayne. And that's exactly how he did it with, I mean, the whole reason why he had the martial law and had the breakdown was basically waiting until the bomb would go off. He needed something to stall that for it to happen. But he wanted the people and Bruce Wayne to feel that despair because there was that hope. What if Batman comes back? What if we can escape this? And Bruce Wayne, you know, once again having the same experience that Bane did with the prison, or the, you know, the hole in the ground with the prison of, what if I climb out? And that was a chilling experience when he finally does, when he decides to not climb with the rope, when Bruce Wayne has the people chanting rise, and it was just, to me, that was very chilling, and it was very
I really
dramatic.
Loved it. And to be honest, my favorite part of that scene was just a little thing, but when he gets out, tosses the rope down behind him, and then walks away.
It was so just that, so Bruce Wayne. And then the other part is when he comes back, and that one last build up to the finale, where you have the cops on one side, and you have the mercenaries on the other, and it's just quiet, and it's tense.
Menacing.
And you know the cops are like, we have no chance, we have handguns, and these guys have assault rifles and these tanks. And you can see the fear in their eyes, and they start walking towards each other, and all of a sudden, Bruce Wayne comes down in the bat and blocks the shot from the tumbler and destroys it, and the cops look at him and start cheering, and then they just start racing towards each other, and the music comes up.
They could do it.
They knew they could, because of Batman, because the Batman gave them the hope, and it was just so... I'm getting, not to sound corny, but I'm getting chills talking about it right now.
It was powerful.
One of the most memorable moments of the movie, because you just... How could you not feel inspired?
And again, those character moments, that captain who would not come, and Gordon was like, how dare you turn your back on this city? And what did he do? He did what he needed to do.
And he was in the front. He wasn't in the back. He was in the front leading the charge. And he gave his life.
And that was beautiful. I just loved it.
I
can't wait to see it again.
I'm actually wanting to see it again next weekend, because I can't get enough of this movie. I thought Tom Hardy as Bane sold the role with his eyes.
That was the most impressive part. He emoted so well with nothing more than his brow and his eyes, because that mask covers everything else.
Yeah, you have no way to express how you're feeling with the bottom part of your face.
It was really an impressive turn by Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm. And I felt like at the very end, when Talia's exposing herself as Talia and she's explaining her horror origin and Bane and how he took care of her, and you see Bane crying, and it's easy to think that Bane was crying because of the pain, because his mask is now broken and he has no anesthetic, but I think he was crying because in the comic books, Bane loves Talia. He wants to marry her, and yes, he's this domineering figure, but he really cares for her, and I think they brought that into the movie where Bane loves Talia.
Yeah, definitely.
And he might love her as a daughter, he might love her romantically, but I think when she was showing how much he meant to her, I think that emotionally resonated to him, and I think that meant a lot to him. And so it was interesting, because it brought this whole new dynamic to this ruthless killer who actually feels love and isn't just full of anger and hate. And it made me kind of sympathize with Bane. And it was, once again, one of those beautiful character pieces, because...
It really was. It was very impressive.
And every single character had their moment. Alfred had the one when he was trying to convince Batman to not, fight anymore, when he was talking to Bruce Wayne about, burning the letter from Rachel. And also the ending when he cried about how he failed the Waynes. You have Bruce Wayne's moment when climbing out of the prison, but also I felt like when Alfred was confessing the lie that he had. And then you have Detective Blake when he's talking to Bruce Wayne about his past and his history about hiding the mask and faking the smile. You had, then I felt like with Bane was just that last moment with Talia. Gordon, when he was talking to Detective Blake about having someone who can get their hands dirty so you can get your hands clean. And there were so many moments where it resonated.
It was an impressive piece of film.
It wasn't an action romp, even though there's a lot of action into it. It was a character piece,
It definitely was. And I think to close out, I just want to mention that a lot of people that I've read are complaining, not necessarily complaining, but they're saying that they don't like it as much as The Dark Knight because of the Joker, which I think is an understandable critique, because I think that as a visceral reaction to a character, I think we see the Joker as more menacing because he's the symbol of our basest and us at our most dangerous and anarchic and feral.
When he plays to our fears of lack of control.
Exactly. But what does Bane do? Bane is the exact opposite. He is cold and calculated. Every
strategic.
Step is strategic. And so I think that the two work very well as a point-counterpoint type thing. And that, I thought, was one of the most impressive parts of the film.
Yeah, and
To take a character, because you had to have, I think, to make it effective, a villain who was so different from the Joker. If you tried to create that same feeling that you had with the Joker,
it'd be redundant.
It would have been redundant. And so I felt that they did a wonderful job of giving us the exact opposite of what we got with the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say definitely, obviously, since you've listened to the last 20 minutes of this, it's an adore it.
It is an adore it. It's,
go see it 3 times.
Really. It's one of those movies that will, not only the trilogy will change cinema, but I think the movie by itself will change how trilogies are made for not only comic book movies, but anything that's a sci-fi saga or fantasy saga.
It'll
that wasn't based off a book before.
It'll definitely raise the bar. And yeah, I just go see it in IMAX too. We saw it in IMAX. Well,
yeah, IMAX is definitely worth it.
It was
there's
worth
so many
the extra
scenes that just
price.
Add to the. Nolan was saying that you need to see an IMAX, and it's true. There's the scenes with the cops, the scenes with the bat flying, just the scenes of landscape of the city and the broken bridges. It really adds to what you are experiencing in the movie theater, and just a great capstone to a trilogy. Personally, I liked it more than The Dark Knight. I think Joker is a better villain than Bane, but by a smidge.
Yeah.
Not by much.
Yeah.
Bane was still amazing. Tom Hardy. Everyone in this movie was awesome.
This movie had better at least get a nomination for Best Picture.
It better. It really
or I won't understand. I mean, I already don't understand the Academy of Motion Pictures because they're idiots, but they need to at least nominate this film for.
And Anne Hathaway needs to get a nomination for
Best Actress.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. I think she definitely earned it.
I really do too.
So I think that's it. That's our review. And let us know in the comments, either on Facebook or the blog. You can tweet
Twitter.
Us on Twitter. Let us know what you thought about the movie. And let's talk a little bit about it.
Yep.
And thanks once again for listening.
All right. Take care.
Between the Bubbles is a production of Almost Midnight Media and is released under a Creative Commons license. Thanks to Brian Boyko and Kevin McLeod for the bumper music.